Again, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you to our study today. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for coming in and honoring the Lord and studying His Word today. Today we're going to try to finish up study number 21, the letter U, in our ABCs of Christian Growth. We've been studying unity. Unity. And unity is something that the world doesn't know anything about. They pretend to, but they don't know anything about real unity and what the Scriptures talk about as far as unity goes. There's a unity in the Scriptures, a unity that's referred to as Bible unity and godly and spiritual unity. And then there's a unity of the world. And they're two different opposite types of unity and two different ideas about what unity is. They do not match one another. They don't intermingle. They're opposites. And the Lord even tells us in His Word not to be part of the unity that the world wants to try to put on us and make us comply to. And it's not a matter of the Lord told us to obey them that have the authority over you. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to start no rebellion here or anything like that. We're just talking about unity and who we should be devoted to, who our allegiance should be to, and how unity works among real Christians, among real Christians that are Bible believers, that believe that book and believe God's word and don't question God concerning His word, and are sincere and sincere in their heart and mean business with the Lord, really want to know what the Lord has to say and what He says about things, and then try to be pleasing to Him while we're waiting on Him. So here we go. The last thing that we talked about was the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then we went into the Scriptures that compared a human body to the body of Christ, to the bride of Christ. And just comparing it and how it fits together and is joined together and works together and grows together and tries to be conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ unto a perfect body, to where we can get things done for the Lord and get along with one another. So let's just do a little recap here before we get to our study. And right at the end here, I think we really will close this out today. We've had a pretty good study, and we've been over the fundamentals and the ABCs of the Christian growth having to do with unity and what the Bible says. I think we have figured out what Bible unity is and what worldly unity is and how they are different. So first thing that we talked about was that man desires unity. Man wants unity, but man's idea of wanting unity was revealed whenever Noah and them got off of the ark. Man's first attempt at unity, remember that? And they all tried to come together, and that was man's idea. That's what's in man's heart. Man wants to come together. He don't want to obey God and split up and have high fences and good neighbors and all that stuff and replenish the earth. He wanted to get together, and all of them had the same mind, and all of them had the same speech. talking about the same thing and talking about we're going to do this and we're going to do this and we're going to make a name for us and all that kind of stuff and then build a tower up to God. Well, they're still doing it today, exactly as it was back then. And all you got to do is look around, go to any city, you see the biggest tower, see you can get in the Guinness Book of World Records or get into the updated records and find out who's got the tallest building so far this year. And everybody's trying to build the tallest building and tower up to heaven. So it's still going on, ain't it? Then we talked about man's final attempt at unity. The Bible does indeed teach us in Revelation about another attempt, which is going to be an attempt, except this time it's going to involve the entire earth, all nations and tongues, and all of them are going to be involved in this one. The Bible refers to the last days where this unity is going to come about. It's going to be up under the great whore. The great whore, and that the bride of Christ is referred to as a chaste virgin, and unity is different in the bride of Christ as it is under this great whore. Mystery Babylon, the great. And then we went into talking about true unity versus false unity. And the things that it has to do with that, and the Bible tells us and advises us and instructs us. Said, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, that just makes plain sense, doesn't it? I mean, can two walk together unless they be agreed? No, they can't. You don't see two people. If two people disagree with something, they're going to be separated from one another. They ain't going to have the same idea. They're not going to be in agreement with it. It's just bottom line. That's the way it works. And the Lord tells us in Ephesians 5:11 to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The Bible says, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Well, there is none. There is none. I love God's word and how plain he speaks. And he just makes everything so simple and so easy to understand. But when you get in that National Council of Churches and you get into the World Council of Churches and all them interface and everybody all mingled together in one big old pot of goop all mixed together talking about churches and religious groups, there's no sense in it or no common sense in it at all. There's no you can't look at it and figure out what it is. It's a monster. It's all mixed up. It embraces the major Protestant denominations, the Eastern Orthodox groups, and engages with the Roman Catholic Church, and all of that. And the Bible doesn't speak like that of things having to do with Christ and things having to do with the Word of God all being mixed up and confused in one big old melting pot of goo. That's not the way the Lord said. He said, there is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called unto one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, did you understand that? I understand that perfectly. There's only one. There's one faith, one Lord. I understand that. There's no confusion. I don't trip over that not one minute. But when it comes to understanding all these, fake unity, false unity that the world's trying to come up with, there's no understanding in that. There's no understanding. The Bible says that the devil's going to deceive the entire world. The entire world. All nations, tongues, and speeches, and everything else. He's going to confuse every one of them and confuse it all. And they're going to trust him. They're going to trust him. But not me. Thank the Lord. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we talked about that, there being only one. The Bible says one. Now, either that's right or it's wrong. Now, when they say, well, you got your religion and I got mine and we got the, yeah, but which one's true? Which one is right? I mean, usually you're going to end up with what you're looking for. If you're looking for a false religion to match your behavior and match your lifestyle and match your ungodliness and your wicked heart, you can find one. There's a religion out there for that. But if you're looking to please the Lord and you're thankful in your heart and you're sincere and you mean business, you want to do the very best before the Lord because of what He's done for you and you're sincere about it and you're willing to accept the truth and make the changes that God's Word says, knowing that you're going to get the benefit of it anyway. God don't need any bettering. God is perfect. God tells us that the law is good. If we could live by the law, you'd be so much happier. But we can't live by the law because of our flesh. Our flesh is ungodly, and there's no good thing in it, and we're constantly battling with it. Remember the old cartoons where there was this guy standing there, and he was tempted to do something, and he squinted his eyes like, I'm going to go ahead and do that, and the devil shows up, pops up on his shoulder, one shoulder, with a pitchfork, and he's provoking this guy to do it, and then an angel pops up on the other shoulder, and he's trying to talk him out. That's exactly how it is. That's exactly how it is. Your spirit wars against the flesh. Good against bad. Good against bad. That's exactly how it is. Now, I ain't saying there's little devils and little angels on your shoulder, but there are devils and there are angels. Religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without regeneration, morality without God, and heaven without hell. Every single one of those things. That's General William Booth of the Salvation Army a long time ago said, I consider that the chief dangers which will confront the 20th century will be. And then he said, religion without the Holy Spirit. We've got that in society. Christianity without Christ. We've got that in society. Forgiveness without regeneration. We've got that in society. Morality without God. We've got that. And heaven without hell. No hell, no hell. I'm all right, you're all right. Da, 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 da. Well, you go ahead and convince yourself there's no hell. But you better stay away from that door. It's going to open up and under your feet, and you fall into eternity. You better be sure where that door is, so you stay away from it. Because as soon as you fall through that door, you're going to find out. If you ain't born again, you're going to find out whether there's a hell or not. You willing to take that chance? The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why wouldn't you call upon the name of the Lord of somebody that has proven and all the prophecies have come true about him and all of them, and there's only one book in the entire world that has talked about him and talks about him as a matter of fact and doesn't talk about him about a story or a fairy tale, talks about him as a matter of fact and said he come for your benefit. And that he died for you, and all you have to do is believe him and believe on him, and he'll save you. And when you go fall through that trap door and go into eternity, when that old door opens up under your feet and down you go into eternity or through into eternity, you don't have to worry about hell because he's paid that penalty and you're going to be expedited straight to heaven. Unity at the expense of truth is treason, C.H. Spurgeon said. You can have unity, but if you have unity without truth, you're a traitor. You're a traitor. And we talked about unity we need to be concerned about. Remember? That unity, what the Lord Jesus Christ was praying for in chapter 17 of the book of John. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Did you go through and read that? John chapter 17, isn't that a wonderful prayer that the Lord prayed for us? Isn't it? I'm glad we get to be with Him. I'm glad that one of the Lord's desires, that shows His real love for us, is that he not only came and died for us and then went on back to heaven and just kind of said, okay, that's it, I'm done, and wiped his hands and said, okay, they'll be all right. But he takes a personal interest in us, and he asked the Father before he was even crucified, Lord, I'd like to have them with me. After they're saved, I want them to be with me, and I want them to be one with me and one with you, just like we are. Isn't that a good Savior? He's a wonderful, wonderful Savior. I'm so glad the Lord loves us. And when you cling and hang on to that and you take note of it and you make it your own and you say, Lord, I'm going to trust you all the way to the end. I'm going to trust you. Just like Queen Esther said, if I perish, I perish. But I'm going to trust him all the way to the end. That's what Lot said. Lot said the same thing in a different way. That he was going to trust him to the end. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Yet will I trust him. And that's part of growing up in Christianity, is learning how to trust the Lord. And we have to go through different trials and fiery trials, which are to try us. And that's more of an education class than it is any kind of punishment or any kind of discipline or anything like that. It's for growth. It's for growth. And the Bible says in John chapter 17 that that the Lord has prayed for us, and that we made those two statements, and we was going to pick one of them: unity of all Christians throughout the world, no matter what their background or denomination. Is that what the Lord was praying for, or was he praying for unity of all religions, no matter what a person believes? Well, he sure wasn't praying for unity of all religions, because the Lord doesn't talk. The Lord didn't come. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. So today we're going to get and finish up. We began that part of it, and we finished up right there at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. And it said, till we all come in the unity of the faith. That's the idea. We learn the Word of God like we're doing right now. We learn the Word of God until we all come together or come in the unity of the faith. Not unity of religions, not unity of ideas of how to do this and how to do this and build towers and cities, but unity of the faith. There's one faith, remember? Unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, to be conformed into the image of Christ and be like him, a perfect man. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 is where we're going to begin today. It says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Talking about the whole body. Everybody is a different part of the body. But yet we all need one another in order to be a fit, well-working body for the Lord and the body of Christ. Okay. Now, what is real church unity? The last thing that we talked about was the unity that we need to be concerned about. Now, what is real church unity? Well, real church unity, it's significant. We talked about Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. That's what we just read. And then remember 1 Corinthians 12 through 27, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks. You see all this racism stuff and all this stuff that they're everybody's going nuts in the world about race this, race that, and race this. Listen, all colors of flesh burn. There's all kind of races in hell. Hell burns every race. Hell is not a respecter of races. It burns every race. And there's every race in heaven also, as long as they have received Jesus Christ as their Savior and done what God said to do in the Scriptures during the dispensation that they lived. And we live in the time of grace. And believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is all you got to do to get to heaven, no matter what color you are. There ain't no race got a right to stand up and boast about anything before any other races, no matter what color you are. Because when you die, your race ain't got nothing to do with them fires in hell. Them fires burn every race. Every race. So talking about that stupid, idiotic stuff that mature human beings arguing about globally, and your news media is mixing everything up and making things so stupid. 1 Corinthians said that. Now, see, that's evidence, and there's your picture of unity in the world. That's your picture of unity in the world right there. And they brag about, let's all get together, let's all get together. That's what I was telling you. It's just like a woman that's trying to have a baby, and she's having those contractions and bringing that baby forth. That's the same thing this world is doing right now. It's having contractions after contraction, trying to bring forth the Antichrist. And it's going to bring him forth. Everything's all mixed up, and there ain't nothing but pain in the world, suffering with this COVID and tsunamis and earthquakes, and it's all over the world, and the Lord said it was going to be, and it is. It's everywhere. But it ain't got as bad as it's going to get yet. And then the Antichrist is going to come forth. But we're not going to be here, thank the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. Now, we're comparing the body of Christ. We're talking about the body of Christ, not the unity of the world. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, we read that. It sees the goal of the church to have every member working together just as a fit athlete. You know how athletes do. They take care of that body and make sure it's ready to do what they're competing, and that every part of their body's got to work together. Fit athlete has every joint and muscle toned for perfection. That's the same way the body of Christ should be, that we all working together. If one suffers, every other one suffers. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26, the Bible says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, that's the way it's supposed to be. The Bible says that. That's what we're supposed to strive for. That's the goal, is for all the body of Christ to come together, because we're able to do that because it's spiritual. It's spiritual. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 and 12 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, we talked about the unity that needs to be and should be in the body of Christ. That's the idea of the scriptures. That does not mean that's what's going on. That just means that's what to shoot for. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to shoot for, is that we all come together in the unity, that we all come together in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's what we're supposed to be shooting for. And long suffering and forbearing one another and helping one another out while we're not participating in the fake unity of the world. Okay, the Bible says that the Lord not only said that the body of Christ is to be one, but he also gave us offices for some people that are specifically chosen for that, to help the body of Christ to be perfect, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, who are they? Well, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, what we just read. He gave some apostles. Okay, they're the ones that began the church. He picked them out individually, specifically, to start the church, the body of Christ. After it started, he gave some prophets. There's the Old Testament. And the prophets that run through the Old Testament and come and prophesied. And there's so many prophecies in the Old Testament. Everybody says the prophecies in the Old Testament, everything the Old Testament's done with. Man, there's hundreds and hundreds of prophecies that are still yet to be fulfilled in the Old Testament. that are going to be fulfilled to the T, jot and a tittle. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, and then gave some evangelists. We have those today. And some pastors have those today. And some teachers for the body of Christ. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. You see how that is? For unity. He gave evangelists and pastors and teachers, and the apostles and prophets were before, but we still have evangelists and pastors and teachers today to help out the body of Christ to be unified, to come together as one in the body of Christ. And that's what pastors and evangelists and teachers are supposed to be doing, is perfecting the saints, working the ministry, and edifying the body of Christ. That's what the Bible says, and that's what the Lord has given us to help out the body of Christ until the Lord come. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26, it says, "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice in it." Remember, the Lord said that there wouldn't be any schism in the body. We're not to allow any schisms in the body. Nobody gets to have their little side click, and there's 10 or 20 people over here, and they stay on this side, and they stay on this side. It's not to be any of that. Not to be any of that. And that's what your evangelists and your pastors and teachers are for, is to be teaching the Word of God and telling the truth about the Word of God, so people, the saints, understand what the will of God is and are able to be pleasing in the Lord's sight when it comes to unity. Now, true church unity is not a group of clone Christians. I mean, it looks like they come off an assembly line. Clone Christians all wearing the same clothes and thinking the same thing and doing the same thing and liking the same things. It's just common people that have been born again that are spiritually fit, with a spiritually fit body, and every member of Christ's body working together, matured, ministering, and multiplying. The Bible commands us to learn the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And the Bible commands us to grow in the faith. And that's what you're doing right now. Listen to this. And all it takes is just to sit down and listen. And then believe God's word. If it lines up with the book, get it right. Change whatever needs changing, or just strengthen whatever needs strengthening. The Word of God does it all. That's not all. Now, we talked about the aid. We just got through talking about in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 and 12 that the Lord give us some aids to the church unity. And that's the pastors, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The Lord gives to the local church the apostles and the prophets. They were ministers which ceased with the completion of the Word of God. But you see how they come down through history as you're reading the Word of God. The Word of God begins with the apostles, the church, I mean. The church begins with the apostles. The Lord chose them, and then they died off and went to be with the Lord. And then the prophets the Lord had back in the Old Testament, preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God. And then the evangelists and pastors and teachers today. The Lord has given us aid to oversee and to edify the church, for the edifying of the church and for the work of the perfecting of the saints and the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, what's the attitude for church unity? What does the Bible teach that the attitude of church unity ought to be? We know what the attitude of the world unity is. I get you before you get me, and we'll pretend that we get along. That's world unity. What can I get out of pretending that I'm unified with you? I'm walking by your side, but I got an idea of getting something from you. That's the world unity. And you don't think I'm telling you the truth? You know I'm telling you the truth. That's the truth. All you got to do is look around you. look around you. That's not church unity at all. There's there's a spirit in the world unity, but it ain't the right spirit. It ain't the right spirit. It's not God the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Ghost only dwells in the body of Christ. He doesn't dwell in unbelievers and lost and the lost. They're without Christ and without God in the world. The Bible says that there are some godly attitudes needed for the members of Christ, and they're listed in Ephesians and 1 Thessalonians chapter 13. Let me read them to you. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2 and 3 and verse 32, the Bible says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another, that means putting up with one another, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath, past tense, forgiven you. Do you like the idea that your sins are paid for and that you're forgiven? Then how come you got such a big problem forgiving everybody else? You see, that shouldn't be in the body of Christ. You should be, the Bible says, that God stands ready to forgive. But you got to come to Him and get it. God's not going to make you say you're sorry, even though He can. You got to be sorry because you want to, not because you have to. You don't have to. You can live miserable as you want to live, and the Lord will let you until He gets sick of it and kills you and takes you on home so you don't embarrass the body of Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 through 10, now remember, we're talking about the attitude of Christ, and there's probably 7 or 8 of them here that we can talk about. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, charity never faileth. And that ain't talking. Charity in the Bible is not just a matter of giving somebody something like a charity in the world's called, like a charity, like a goodwill or something like that. Charity in the Bible is more like Christ's love. There's a difference in worldly love and Christ Jesus's love. You say I love you is one thing, but you say I love you with Christ's love is a completely different thing. Christ's love is sacrificial. No matter what kind of love some situation might require, there's a sacrifice required in it in order to love like Christ would love in that scenario. Christ's love is a sacrificial love. It gives, expecting nothing in return. You don't get anything out of Christ's love. You save it up in heaven, and the Lord writes it down. And sometimes the Lord rewards you down here. A lot of times He does. But it's a love that makes rich the situation. It doesn't make things worse. There's the love of the world makes things worse. Because there's fornication and adultery and ungodliness and wickedness and all that involved in that kind of love. That stuff's not involved in Christ's love because Christ's love is sacrificial. You're actually giving up something to love the way that Christ does. The Bible says charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Okay, the Bible's teaching that when that which is perfect, well, what is it that's perfect that came? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came. And then the law is still good, but it's not in effect anymore because Christ came and fulfilled the law, you see. And the attitude that we was talking about, the attitude that we was talking about in Ephesians chapter 4, there's probably about 7 or 8 things in there that the body of Christ, the members of Christ's body, ought to have and be part of your heart, be part of your being. What are they? Well, lowliness and meekness. That ain't talking about being sissified and let people stomp all over you. It's talking about lowliness and meekness. With long suffering, you put up with stuff. Forbearing one another. Forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And then that's not all. Be ye kind one to another. Yeah. If you want to be like Christ, you got to be kind to people. Now, there's times that you got to stand up for things, and the Bible tells us fight the good fight of faith and contend with the evil things. Yes, but it's not talking about with the body of Christ, within the body of Christ. Within the body of Christ, the body works together, and part of the body working together, just like the blood flowing in all the body, is being kind one to another. And also being tender-hearted. You know, the world's got the kind of love to where their hearts are so stinking hard, the Bible says it's seared with a hot iron. They can't even have feeling anymore. They don't even know how to feel anymore. They don't know how to have compassion anymore. They don't know how to be sorry for something anymore. They don't have any empathy for anybody. That's the kind of love of the world. It's a hard-hearted kind of love. What a miserable, miserable, miserable way to live. I'm so thankful that the Lord took me out of that and you couldn't push me back into that mess. I've went through them classes several times and I'm not ever going through them again. I don't want them anymore. That's a miserable way to live and try to talk yourself into thinking that you're happy, 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 happy. What a stinking lie. The devil's able to make you suffer for the wrong things. Suffer for the wrong things, and then make you say, ooh, this is good. That's how the devil does. But the Bible says, lowliness and meekness with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity. That's what we're studying. To keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The Spirit, talking about God the Holy Spirit, and the bond of peace. The unity of God the Holy Ghost in the bond of peace. And God the Holy Ghost is the third member of the Godhead. He is the person, God Himself, in spirit, in the third person of the Godhead. And He don't teach confusion, and He don't teach you one thing and teach me another thing. He teaches us all out of the Word of God and teaches us the same thing to where we can get along and have unity. Now, lastly, let's talk about this, the command of the church unity. What does the Bible command us concerning church unity? In 2 Thessalonians, now listen to this, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye, listen to this, that ye withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which ye have received. Did you hear that? Let me read it again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now, don't take my word for it. Get your Bible open and read it. Now, we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a command from Jesus Christ to you. New Testament from the Apostle Paul and the Pauline epistles written to the New Testament church, that you withdraw yourself from every brother. It ain't talking about the lost people. It ain't talking about the worldly people. It's talking about people that are saved, that are misbehaving. That you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13 through 16, listen to this. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of doing good, and don't let nobody make you quit doing good. There's a lot of people going to cuss you out and make fun of you and cuss your God and just do all kind of stuff. Don't let that discourage you. Keep doing right. Just do right and keep doing good. The Bible says, be not weary. It's like you get tired of doing good. I remember there was one guy I was talking to, and I said, man, you just need to get out of that stuff. He said, I'm scared to be straight. And there's some truth in that. There's some truth in that. Because you got to see some hope before you'll turn in that direction. And there ain't no hope in the world now. All the drunks and all the dope heads and all the drug addicts and all the people that are in bondage and that kind of stuff, they don't have no hope to turn to because everything else is just as bad as that. Only Christ is the one that has hope. And only the Word of God is the truth. When you come to Him, He has the power to back up what He says He'll do, and He does it. I'm a testimony of that. I ain't saying that just because to say it. I'm saying that the Lord kept His word with me and continually keeps His word with me. And He will you also. But to turn away from drunkenness to go into fornication and think it's going to be better is wrong. It ain't going to work. You're going to be just as stinking miserable. There is no hope like that in the world. But ye brethren, talking to the brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man, now listen to this, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, now, epistle's a big word and all it means is letter. Epistle means by this letter, the Pauline epistle of 2 Thessalonians that we're reading right now is an epistle. That means it's a letter that he wrote. It says, and if any man obey not our word, that's Paul talking, saying that God told the Lord Jesus Christ told him what to tell you in this epistle, in this letter. Obey not our word by this epistle. Note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Did you get that? Well, we shouldn't offend everybody. We should love everybody and love, 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 love. Man, there's so much stinking love in the world right now, make you want to vomit. It ain't that kind of love. If you love someone, you tell them the truth. The Bible says whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. If you're going to lie to somebody to love them, that ain't love, friend. If you want to have that kind of love, you can go anywhere in the world and get that, but not in the body of Christ. But ye brethren, be not weary in well doing. And if any man obey not the word by the epistle, he's just a stubborn idiot and just going to do what he wants to do instead of minding the Lord. If he's going to do that, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. So the Bible not only commands us about this unity part, but it also commands us who in the body of Christ not to be fellowshipping with if they're misbehaving. You're not to go pat them on the back and say, oh, it'll be all right. It's not going to be all right if you're out there fornicating, you're out there dope-heading, and you're out there drunken and hanging out in the bars with the wicked people, embarrassing the Lord and making a bad name for the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be ashamed of that if you're in the body of Christ. If you're part of the world and you're not going to heaven and you're headed to hell, go on, whoop it up. Doesn't matter. You're going to hell anyway. But if you're part of the body of Christ, you're supposed to behave. You walk as a child of light. And the Bible says that when it comes to unity, if somebody's misbehaving, you separate yourself from them. Why? So they will be ashamed and get back where they're supposed to be in fellowship with their Heavenly Father. Now, let's go ahead and close this up. We talked about unity. It's a good study, isn't it? But Bible unity is not worldly unity. And it's not anything to do with that ecumenical movement and all the religions of the world that are all coming together. The Lord's doing all that, and He's bringing all the false religions, the Islam, the Koran, all them fake Bibles and all this gobbledygook, all these religions, he's bringing them all together. The Lord's doing that. And you're going to see it happen. It's all going to come together into one big old quagmire or muck. And there ain't going to be no kind of sense to it, except that the Antichrist is going to step in and control it all. And it's going to be over in Rome. It's going to be headed up in Rome. And it's the Lord's going to bring them all over there to try to destroy the Jews. And that's when the Lord's going to come back and show them who's boss. That's it. To destroy them. He's bringing them all together to destroy them. That's why it's just kind of like he told Noah to build that ark. Noah was out there building that ark. And the people thought he was a stinking fool. And he built that ark and built that ark, and then the Lord said, come in, get in the ark, I'm shutting the door. And when he got in the ark, he killed everybody on the planet that had breath. And the Lord said, okay, let's get all the religions together, and let's have unity. And he's bringing them all together, and when he gets them all together, he's going to let them go over there and try to take out the Jews again, and when they do, he's going to show up, and he's going to kill every one of them. Now, there's your God of love. You keep messing around with the lovey-dovey, won't hurt anybody, just can't wait to kiss everybody God. You're going to find out. He carries a big stick, and he ain't ashamed to use it. He says that he's not ashamed to be your God. And you should be ashamed of misbehaving as one of his sons after what his son done for you. Our last verse for this study is 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9 through 13. Let me read it to you. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to keep company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. You start fellowshipping with them kind of people and God will kill you and take you home. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator. Sex problems. Lasciviousness. Can't control himself. Fornicator. Covetous. Idolaters, or railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such and one know not to eat. Don't even sit down and eat with them. That's what the Bible says. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? In other words, the body of Christ judges itself to make sure that it's lined up with pleasing with the Lord. And you can judge inside and make sure that everybody in the body of Christ is okay. You can't judge the wicked when they get out of the body of Christ and start really misbehaving. But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now, that might have changed all of y'all's thinking. But that's what the Bible says. Look them verses up. I'm giving them to you. You look them up and see if that's what God says. And if it is, then there shouldn't be no discussion about it. It ain't easy you don't like making one of your children ashamed. But when they misbehave and they act like a bunch of stinking idiots and embarrass you, and make a bad name for your family and for you, and you didn't teach them that way, but they're behaving that way, it brings a bad name on you. And they need to be ashamed of it so that they'll turn and repent and get back in the family and behave themselves like they're supposed to. Amen. Good study. We talked about unity. Unity. But not only just unity, but Bible unity. and the kind of unity that God the Holy Ghost teaches us within the body. As far as the world unity, forget it. Stay as far away from it as you can. There is no world unity. You don't need to come together with nothing in the world. The world's wicked, and the world's going to get more wicked. And it's just one big old pool of stinking sewage muck out there that's just going to keep on getting nastier and nastier. It says that the last days are going to be like the days of Noah. And you read in your Bible about what them people was like on the earth whenever Noah was building that ark. Even the children were wicked as they could be. When I was growing up, children were innocent. They didn't know nasty, ungodly things. Now you got little five-year-old children coming out of the closet, so-called. Little boys saying, I'm not a boy, I'm a girl. And I'm not a girl, I'm a boy. That's little 5 and 6 year olds doing it, and mama and daddy supporting it. You tell me this world ain't changing? A stinking, turning, nasty sewage muck out there. You better get in the body of Christ where you belong if you're born again, and keep the unity of the faith and the Spirit of God, God the Holy Ghost, not the unity of the world. We talked about man's first attempt at unity. We talked about man's final attempt at unity. We talked about true unity versus false unity. And then we compared them together with the one body, one faith, one Lord, and went down through that, you remember. And then we talked about the unity that we need to be concerned about. And we talked about real church unity, and that the Lord had given us aids to help us in the body of Christ to keep unity. And then the attitude, and then the commands that the Lord give you not to keep company or have any unity with somebody that wants to misbehave and go out there and behave like an idiot in the world. They're to be ashamed and repent and get God's forgiveness, that He stands ready to forgive, the Bible says. He wants to forgive you. That's our God. He's wonderful. He wants to forgive you. Just come to Him and get it. But just as stubborn as that stinking flesh is, that flesh will just get, you'll sit down there and just sink all the way up to your stinking nose holes in that sewage until you just can't stand it anymore. And then finally, the Lord will, you come to the Lord, which you didn't have to wait that long. The Lord says He stands ready to forgive. We talked about C.H. Spurgeon a while ago and what he said, or several times through this study. He said one more thing. Let me read it to you. Have you ever read the ancient, this is him speaking, it's called The Ancient Mariner. Have you ever read The Ancient Mariner? I dare say you thought it one of the strangest imaginations ever put together. I think he's talking about a book, The Ancient Mariner. Have you ever read The Ancient Mariner? I dare say you thought it one of the strangest imaginations ever put together, especially that part where the old mariner represents the corpses of all the dead men rising up to man the ship, dead men pulling the rope, dead men steering, dead men spreading sails. I thought that was a strange idea, that was. But do you know I have lived to see the time? I have gone into churches and I have seen a dead man in the pulpit, a dead man as a deacon, a dead man handling the plate, and a dead man sitting to hear. Yeah, that's during Charles Spurgeon's time. We're in the 21st, almost a we're in the 21st century. It's 2021. There's dead men walking all over the place. Without God and dead and headed to hell. You better stay on the side that you belong on and get right up in the middle of it and have unity with the brethren and with God the Holy Ghost and with the Word of God and stay put and stay there and don't let anything drag you out of it. because the sewage is getting nastier and nastier out there, and the muck is going to drag you in, and it's going to pull you under, and you're not going to be able to get out. You better get out while the getting's good. If you need to tell God you're sorry, tell Him you're sorry, and get back on the side you're supposed to be on. Get back in fellowship with the Lord. If you're in fellowship with the Lord, guard that with everything you've got. Stay in the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Honor the Lord. Praise Him. Sing songs about Him. And fellowship with the ones that are walking upright and walking the way that they're supposed to be walking. You're not even supposed to fellowship with ungodly saints. People that are called brethren that are living in the world and living like the world. That's how important unity is and what God classifies as unity. Amen? Study of unity. All right. Good study. Let's see. LMNOPQRSTU. V is the next. V is the next one we're going to go into. And we'll start that study next. Be study number 22, I believe. And it'll be the letter V. And what could we study in God's Word concerning the letter V, you think? I think it's going to be victory. Victory. We're going to study what the Bible says about the saint, about us, about the church, and the victory that the Bible says that we're going to get, that we now have, and that we have in the past, present, and future victory. And we'll see what the Bible says. And we need to know that. You need to know the things that you have the victory over, because the Lord has done some tremendous things for you if you are born again. Do you know what they are? Why don't you know what they are? Well, we're going to find out what they are, okay? Amen. That's a good study, too. You be sure to join in. Well, I love you, and I love you with Christ's love. And thank you for joining this study of unity. It's a good study. If you want these papers so you can have them so you can do devotions with your family, with or without these audios, you can have them. Just email me at barnhouseministries@gmail.com, and I'll send them to you. God bless you. This is Brother Thurman. I sure enjoy fellowshipping with you and studying the Lord's Word. Bye-bye.